As we get started with this, I want to confess to you that sometimes I choose a campaign or a sermon series. Sometimes I choose those things based on what I think God is telling me that people need to hear. And what I have to confess to you this morning is I think this time God directed me to this campaign not so much because they need to hear it as much as I need to experience this. I'm going into this experience with my mind open, my heart open, because I know that in the next 6 weeks, we're going to address some areas that are very difficult for me. A few years back, I was hurt deeply. There were some folks who were very unkind to me, and I didn't even realize how much I was allowing resentment to settle into my heart until I started looking at this campaign, this series, started to think through what it means to have mercy. And as I started to think that through, I realized that I was carrying a grudge, that I wanted justice. I was right, they were wrong, and somebody should say that. And I began to understand that while I was carrying that grudge, holding that resentment, I was the only one suffering. Those people that hurt me, they either don't know they did it or they don't care, so they're not hurting. I'm the one hurting. And so I've decided to let go of it. But as you know, that's a process. So I'm inviting you to join me in a process. I anticipate that I'm going to grow up a whole lot over the next 40 days. I'm going to learn a lot. And I invite you to join me in that journey. Would you be willing to go in with an open heart and open mind, knowing that maybe God is going to shake you up just a little bit as we look at what mercy is really all about? This morning we're going to start in Ephesians chapter 2. If you have your copy of Scripture with you, I want to invite you to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to begin at verse 4. You find 1 and 2 Corinthians. Those are the big books. Keep going just a little bit to the right. You'll find Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to start at verse 4. He says, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you've been saved." And out of those two little verses, I want us to get started on our journey this morning. And the place to start this great journey together is by the reality, the truth, that God is merciful. That's where it all begins. We start with Him. God is merciful. Did you hear that in verse 4 there? "But God, being rich in mercy." He is rich in mercy. I know a lot of rich people. Actually, I know a couple of rich people. I know a lot of people who are rich in grace, rich in love, rich in friendship, rich in wisdom, rich in, there's a lot of ways to be rich, isn't there? of all the ways that we think, of all the things that God has. He is master of the universe, the Lord of lords. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills, which means he owns everything. Paul says he's rich, not in that stuff, but Paul says he's rich in mercy. Rich in mercy. That it turns out that from the beginning to the end, from the Genesis to the Revelation, Old Testament, New Testament, a major theme throughout Scripture is that God is rich in mercy. Really, I guess we might even say that's why he created us, or it is his nature, the mercy that makes up his nature is one of the reasons that he would create people to allow us the opportunity, the privilege and joy of experiencing his creation and relating to him. It was a merciful act just to create. It was certainly a merciful act when he gave his people the law to help them understand how this life works and how to work and relate to him. And then it was certainly an act of mercy when he sent Jesus Christ to pay the penalty for all of us who had broken the laws that he gave us that made life make sense. And what an act of mercy that now he says, you know, if you repent of your sin and turn to Christ, you can be forgiven and saved and set free. He is a merciful God from beginning to end. He's described in that way in Scripture. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, it says, therefore know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy. He keeps covenant means he keeps his word. He keeps his word, and at the same time, he is merciful. For 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. He is merciful. In Psalm 100, we celebrate, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generation. The psalmist says just a little bit later in Psalm 118, he says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Jehoshaphat was king of Jerusalem, and the enemy was coming. And he found out that the enemy was coming, and Jehoshaphat said, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? Oh, it's going to be terrible. They're going to come. The people are afraid. Jehoshaphat prays. And God says, no thing. Don't worry about it. He says, when the enemy comes, you guys go out there, and you just praise me, and then you stand and watch and see that salvation that I'm going to bring to you. And so that's what Jehoshaphat did. He got everybody lined up and he put the singers in the front, not the fighters, the singers. And they walked out into the battlefield, and the singers started to sing, and everybody started to sing with them. And as they praised God, God turned the enemy against themselves, and he defeated the whole army. And what were they singing? They were singing, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. They were praising his mercy. Folks, we have a merciful God. If you have accepted Christ and been changed by him, you've experienced that mercy. And if you're serious about who you used to be before you came to Jesus, then you realize how desperately we need his mercy. God is merciful. But not only that, we also get to understand that we are saved by his mercy. Because of his mercy, we can find salvation. We can experience what it means to be made right with him again. You see that in the next verse. We just looked at verse 4, so look at verse 5 this time. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive together with Christ. God being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive together with Christ. Because of his mercy, he brings to us salvation. We can be saved. We can be made right. We can be forgiven and start over, all because he is willing to show us mercy. Titus says that he has saved us because of his mercy. Let me read you in context those few verses in Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, I'm going to start at verse 3. For we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we had done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. By His mercy, we were saved. 1 Peter says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So we understand God is merciful. It's a part of who He is, His nature. It's why He has always done what He's always done. He is merciful. And because of that, we can be saved. We can be saved by His mercy. You may remember hearing the story that has been told for a number of years about the mother who came to Napoleon on behalf of her son. Her son was supposed to be executed. And according to legend, the mother asked Napoleon to give her son a pardon. Napoleon pointed out that it was the man's second offense, and justice demanded death. The woman replied, "But I don't ask for justice. I plead for mercy." And according to the story, Napoleon objected, and he said, "But your son doesn't deserve mercy." To which the mother replied, "Sir, it would not be mercy if he deserved it. And mercy is all I ask." You see, that is, I think, what we can easily forget. You and I have not been good enough to impress God enough to bring us salvation. We didn't earn it. We don't deserve it. He didn't give it to us because of our looks. He didn't give it to us because we pleased Him enough or impressed Him. It was mercy. And by definition, that means you didn't deserve it. When God reaches into our lives and brings us salvation or any other blessing, it is by His mercy. God is merciful. We are saved by His mercy. And then I want you to notice this morning that God wants us to be merciful as well. That's who He is. And His goal for us is that we would get to know Him and become more like Him. Since He is merciful, He wants us to be merciful as well. In Luke chapter 6 at verse 36, it just doesn't get more clear than this. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. You heard the term family resemblance? You can tell a kid. You can tell whose kid belongs to which parent because they kind of look alike. The idea is, if He's our Father, we're in His family, there ought to be a family resemblance. Since He is merciful, He wants us to be merciful like Him. And this is a challenge. Can we be honest with each other for just a second? This being merciful thing is a challenge. Because we want to receive mercy, but we want others to have justice. We want to receive mercy, but we want them to get what they deserve. And so the challenge is to redo our thinking, to redo our heart a little bit, so that we become merciful, just like He is merciful to us. And so for these next 6 weeks together, we're going to look at five marks of mercy. And you're going to be introduced to them in your small group experience this week. The five marks of mercy. The first one is that mercy forgives the fallen. Someone does you wrong. Someone hurts you. They are wrong and you are right. Justice says that ought to be pointed out, that they ought to apologize, they ought to make restitution. You're right, they're wrong. It should be clear, cut and dry. But mercy says, forgive. What I'm in the process of learning is that resentment is hurt turned to hate. And that can't be in the heart of a child of God. Mercy forgives the fallen. Then after we kind of get a handle on that, we're going to look together at the fact that mercy helps the hurting. Mercy helps the hurting. You know, I've always been amazed by one of the stories of healing in the Scriptures. Jesus healed a lot of people in a lot of different ways. But the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all tell one story. All three of them record one specific story of when Jesus healed a leper. And the reason this story has always spoken to me is that there were times when Jesus just spoke and someone was healed. You remember when He healed the 10 lepers? They came up and asked for mercy and asked to be, and He just said with His words they were healed. Now go and show yourselves to the leaders. He could have done it any way He wanted. You remember the blind, there were blind folks that He had healed. One time He put mud on somebody's eye. The other time He just touched them. Yeah, He could heal in any way He wanted. But here is a leper who needed to be healed. And all three Gospels record it that Jesus went up and touched him. He touched him to heal him. He didn't have to touch him. But the touch was an act of mercy. It was a way to say, I care. Why? Because probably nobody had touched that man in who knows how long. Philip Yancey tells the story of a medical missionary whose name is Dr. Brand, who ministered in India. And part of his work there involved folks who had a disease very similar to what we understand leprosy in the Scriptures. And he was dealing with these folks, and he didn't speak the same language that they did, so he had a translator, and he was talking to this one man about the treatment that he was going to do, and he kind of put his hand on the man's shoulder, and he said, now this is what we're going to do. Through the translator, he said, we'll do to step one, step two, step three, and he noticed the man's shoulder was kind of shaking, and he looked, and the man was sobbing. And so he asked the translator, is he scared of the treatment? Why is he upset? And the translator talked to him for a moment. And the translator said, no, he understands what you're saying, but nobody has touched him for many years. Just that human touch. Just an act of mercy to say, I care. I'm here. I connect with you. Mercy is helping those who are hurting. Mercy is being patient with difficult people. Let's be honest again. Some people are just annoying. Come on, you know it's true. Some people rub you the wrong way. Some people have awkward personalities. Some people, and there are some that are just flat out annoying. And mercy finds a way to be patient with difficult people. That's going to be a fun week for us. Mercy is kind to enemies. Once again, that goes against our human nature, doesn't it? If we're enemies, that means that I've got to get them. For enemies, especially if I know I'm right, I am justified in getting them back. But mercy says that we are kind to enemies. And then finally, we're going to learn how mercy cares for the lost. Mercy cares for the lost. I'm always moved when I remember that Jesus looked over Jerusalem and he wept. We hear two times that Jesus cried. I'm sure he cried other times. The scriptures don't record every minute and every event in his life, but we have at least two times that Jesus cried. One, when Lazarus died, he cried because he felt sorry for those who were mourning. He hurt with them. And the second time Jesus cried, or another event in which he cried, he looked over Jerusalem and he said, "You have no idea what you're missing. If you'd trust me, you'd have what you need, but you reject me." He cried because people were lost. Mercy cares for the lost. Mercy says, if you only knew what you're missing, and I hurt for you that you don't know that. Over the next 6 weeks, we're going to be challenged and encouraged and motivated. And I want to challenge you right now. Would you open your mind and open your heart to take a difficult journey? Let's not just go through another curriculum. Let's let God really speak to us and change us so that we become merciful like He is merciful. Father, we do thank You for Your mercy. We thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ, for the life that He brings, for the love that He demonstrated for us. We're grateful that You forgive us. Thank You that salvation is possible because of Your mercy. Thank You that we can be made right with You, even though we don't deserve it. Lord, we pray during these next few moments that You'd help us respond to that mercy. If we need to accept Christ personally, help us to know that this is our time. If we need to make recommitment, rededication, we need to make some other commitment to the church or to Your kingdom, help us to know what we need to do. Father, help us respond to Your great mercy in Jesus' name.